Welcome to Season 3 of the Unscripted Medicine Podcast, a podcast by medical students who live and learn at the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine.
On the show, we host a variety of discussions such as navigating the preclinical and clinical years, exploring humanism in medicine, and developing our physician identities outside of the textbook.
Check out the show notes or our website for more information, helpful links, resources, and more.
Please connect with us via email or on Twitter at @unscripted_med. We would love to hear from you. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, my name is Alex Gelati, and welcome to the Unscripted Podcast. For those of you who may not know me, I'm a current M2 at UCOM, and I am joined here today with my co-host, Rachel Holloway, who is also an M2. Today's episode is part of our Clinical Communication Pearl series, where we sit down with experts to provide students with realistic and practical advice on how best to approach various clinical encounters. Today's episode will discuss when to get and why you should use a medical interpreter, the scope of practice of a medical interpreter, and the do's and don'ts when there is a language barrier between you and your patient. Our expert today is a second-year medical student here at the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine, Claudia Mort. Claudia completed her medical interpreter training in 2019 through Bridging the Gap, one of the top medical interpreter training programs in the country. Since then, and prior to starting medical school, Claudia has volunteered as a medical interpreter for three different clinics, and she currently is not a medical interpreter at UC. Welcome to the show, Claudia.
Oh, well, thank you for inviting me. I'm very excited to do this. I did want to know, you know, I can only speak to my experiences and my training. So that's one thing to keep in mind.
Great. Thank you, Claudia, for being on. So we'll dive right in. And I think before we talk about anything related to medical interpreting, specifically in the role that medical students and physicians play in that dynamic, I think it would be helpful to just outline at the beginning, what is the scope of practice of a medical interpreter?
So in general, medical interpreter training says, like, medical interpreters are not people who do translations. Translation is written material. Medical interpreters are people who provide vocal services to facilitate an appointment between someone who maybe has English as a second language or someone who does not speak English. So our goal is to ensure that we can help establish a relationship between patient and provider, that patient is aware of everything that's going on, and also to ensure that just the patient knows what to expect.
Yeah, you mentioned a good point that I don't think even myself included and probably other medical students would realize, is that a medical interpreter can't translate. So they're not responsible for making sure your paperwork you provide the patient is in the language that it needs to be, that they're only there to help your verbal communication with the patient. So I feel like right off the bat, that's something that's important for medical students to know. So thank you. So I know the topic of how physicians get a hold of an interpreter is, it varies. It depends on where you work and the policies of your state. Mm-hmm. You just have to follow those protocols. So I don't really think that would be useful to ask here. But I do think a question that would be useful for our listeners is when medical professionals should get a medical interpreter for patients, just because I feel like those reasons will be universal.
For sure. So I think in general, it's a good idea that if the patient does not speak English, there's an active effort to get an interpreter. It can also be highly recommended for patients who may speak some English, but maybe they just may not have the full understanding of medical terms and what is expected in this healthcare system. So I would recommend it for people who are not completely comfortable with English. I would also say that a medical interpreter should be available for patients who do not speak English or who just need an interpreter at any type of appointment. So even if it's just a small follow-up, even if it's just to get some blood work done, imaging, even in the emergency department, there should be an active effort to ensure that all patients know what's going to happen to them and that all patients feel like they are in control of their care. You know, just like anyone who speaks English would know why I'm being taken to a different room, why I'm being put inside a machine. And I also wanted to note that under Section 1557 of the Affordable Care Act, Title VI includes people who do not fully speak English and basically says that institutions that receive public funding must offer a qualified interpreter at no cost to the patient. So basically, if a patient feels like their care was not just, it was not equitable, maybe it didn't occur as it would with another patient, and this can be attributed to language, they can actually file a civil rights complaint. So it's always best to make an active effort to ensure patients understand what's going on and ensure that the person who is interpreting is a trained professional, and that can be from an outside company or even by the hospital that you work at.
Yeah, that's all super interesting because I'm thinking back to when I was a scribe prior to entering medical school, and we worked in the urgent care at a children's hospital. And there were, you know, numerous patients who needed medical interpreters. And there were, you know, sometimes when it was pretty obvious, you know, whether the chart said this patient needs a medical interpreter or if they just clearly didn't understand anything that the physician was saying. In those instances, it was pretty obvious that a medical interpreter was needed. But sometimes they had a baseline level of understanding of the English language. And so the basic communication was fine. And it seemed like they didn't need an interpreter. And even when the physician would ask, do you need a medical interpreter? And they would say no, because they think that their level of English proficiency is high enough to be able to converse in daily life. And it probably is, and it probably is totally fine for the average conversation. But in medical conversations, there are all of these words that are thrown out and explanations that are often lost in translation when they don't have English as their first language. And so I think you bring up a really great point about, like, even if it seems like the patient or their family has a good understanding of English at baseline, it's always best to ask. Then even if they say no, being aware of their level of comprehension of what you're telling them. So if you tell them that their child has a fever, or if they have a fever, if we're talking about adult patients, maybe having them repeat it back to you to see if they truly understand what really is a fever or what is this disease that you're telling them about. And if there seems to be some sort of disconnect, it's always, in my experience at least, better to have a medical interpreter there and not have them be used because the patient does understand versus not have them there and the patient not understand, and then for whatever reason their quality of care may be decreased because of that.
Yeah, for sure. I think that it's always good to at least ask the patient, like, hey, like, do you feel comfortable with English? If they say yes, we could still further say, okay, I just want to ensure that you know that you have access to an interpreter at no additional cost. And that's just to ensure that there is no disconnect. And I mean, if the patient still really doesn't want it, then, you know, like, the opportunity's there. But it's always really good to know that it's free because, of course, if you feel kind of comfortable with English, you don't want to pay. for an additional service that may be like really expensive. So it's good to know.
Absolutely.
Especially just on the topic of when you mentioned that they might say yes, it leads me back to my medical Spanish elective that I'm currently in, and how in Hispanic and Spanish culture, it's a big like taboo to disagree with your physician, mm-hmm. to like make your physician feel that they are not like knowledgeable enough, or like you don't want to embarrass yourself in front of your physician that you can't like keep up with the conversation. Like you want to, you just don't want it to be seen that way. And I feel like in the United States in general, that's how it is. Medical literacy is much lower, even regardless of your education, but a lot of people don't want to feel embarrassed that like, oh, well, should I know this information? Mm-hmm. Because my doctor is talking about it so like fluidly and like easily. So I think that's a good concept you brought up, Rachel, because even if your patient says like, no, I don't need a medical interpreter, maybe possibly getting one anyway, since it is free to mm-hmm. the patient, just so in case they said, no, they don't need one, but it's really because they just don't want to upset the physician or seem like they needed the help.
I do feel like just culturally, people just don't want to make the physician or whoever's providing the care go out of their way. And very often people will just say, yes, yes. So it's not a bother to the team.
Yeah. And I feel like that is something that has really been stressed in our medical education for these first 2 years, as we're learning to take histories and do physical exams, is just making sure that the patient truly understands what you're saying, but also saying it in a way that is comprehensible from their level of medical literacy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, making sure that you're saying something in a way that's not, you're not throwing out big words that you think are small, like febrile. Maybe someone doesn't know that means a fever. So just like being cognizant of that in all people, even if they do speak fluent English. Right. So I think that is a really good underlying point. It's just to, I think that like those skills can be carried into all conversations, regardless of if you're working with a medical interpreter or not, just making sure that they are truly understanding what you're saying, and that like taking the time to ask them, like, can you tell me what I just told you? Like, what is your understanding of this disease? Those kinds of things.
Yeah. And to that, I would just like to add that medical interpreters a lot of times understand the cultures of whatever language they are interpreting for. It can be helpful to have an interpreter provide cultural context in a conversation.
Absolutely. I've personally experienced families who will say that they, for example, gave their child, like they were really worried about their child because they weren't eating as much. And the physician was really confused because they were like, well, you know, maybe your child, like, how much is your child eating? That's a normal amount. Why are you worried? And the interpreter was like, well, in this culture, they love their, like, a act of love for their child is feeding their child, and they translate that to health. And so because the child is not eating the amount that they would normally give in this culture, they think that something is wrong with their child. While it might be medically a fine amount of food, historically for them, it's not as much. And so then that's making them worried. And then those concerns were able to be adequately addressed. Yeah. So I think that is a great point, Claudia. Thank you. Kind of along those lines, what tips would you give for how to best communicate with a patient using a translator, whether that be in person? I'm sorry, I use the word translator. I should say interpreter. An interpreter, whether that be over the phone or video chatting or in person.
Biggest advice is just forget that the interpreter is there. You want to ensure that you are speaking to the patient just like you would with any other patient. Make eye contact with them when you're talking to them. Speak facing their direction. Also, it can be easy to look at the interpreter while you're speaking because you know the interpreter is going to say what you're saying. But it's helpful to just speak directly to the patient. Like, imagine that the patient can speak your language and then just forget that the interpreter is there. Also, one example of that is if you were not aware of that, you may look at the interpreter and say, can you ask the patient if they're taking their meds? Instead, you just say, are you taking your medication? And that really helps because then the patient will also speak to the provider rather than the interpreter. Another thing is that there are different forms of interpreting. In person is a really common way, but also phone interpreting is available. In that case, it's easy to make the phone the target of the interaction just because it can be very confusing. You don't know when the interpreter is about to speak. So I would recommend that the phone not be the target of the interaction, and instead you just continue to interact with the patient just like you would with anyone else. The phone is kind of just like not the main point of the whole encounter.
Absolutely. I think I totally, based on my experience being in rooms with interpreters when it's via a phone, it's hard because similar to phone calls in normal daily life, you don't know when the other person is going to start speaking. There might be connection issues. You might not be speaking loud enough, or they might not be speaking loud enough for the patient to hear. So there are a lot of issues that come with using a phone interpreter, but I love your advice of kind of just almost acting like they're a fly on the wall. I wonder along those same lines, if you could speak to like the quality of questions that the provider should be asking. For example, should they be asking very direct and short questions, or should they be providing more elaborate explanations? What are your thoughts on that?
In my experience, it's always easiest when a provider can speak in like 2 to 3 sentences max and then pause to give the interpreter time to ensure that everything the provider said is said. Because if we just speak for a couple minutes, it's extremely easy to forget what was said. So always speak in just a couple sentences at a time, pause, always look at the patient, and speak like in first person. I think that it's worth saying that an interpreter is supposed to say every single thing that is said in the room, which is why it's very important to speak in small segments at the time.
A few times we've talked about kind of how to best utilize a medical interpreter, but I feel like there may be times where physicians may overstep their boundaries and may think that an interpreter can do more than what they can, or that they'd be comfortable doing more than what is set out. So do you have any advice for how to best collaborate with our medical interpreters without being disrespectful, without overstepping any boundaries?
It's really good to remember that an interpreter is only there and providing the service while one is interacting with the patient or in different parts of the appointment. So obviously, if the patient needs to go get imaging done, interpreter is going to go with them to ensure everything that's said to the patient can understand. But I've definitely been in the situation before where my phone number was given out to patients because maybe the clinic is not able to respond to phone calls or additional needs that the patient may have. So, you know, it's best to just have an interpreter at every interaction, but also that interpreter interaction stops when the patient leaves the appointment. That's really important because, again, medical interpreters can only help like a fly in the wall, just say what's being said. They shouldn't be asked to translate or write down stuff for the patient. And again, like, the whole point of an interpreter is to enable an open and trusting interaction between the patient and the provider. So ensuring that you are the one getting to know the patient rather than the interpreter getting to know the patient is important, because if you don't have the same interpreter at the next appointment, maybe the patient's not going to be as open as they were previously. One thing that helps is if you need to step out of the room, bring the interpreter with you so that they can just wait in the hall or whatever. But it's also important to, you know, like, protect the privacy and identity of the interpreter. It's natural to think like, oh, hey, they probably want to exchange where they're from and stuff like that. But it's just best to remember that the interpreter is there to ensure the relationship between you and the patient, not between themselves and the patient.
I'm just kind of curious as to what extent we can utilize the family in these patient interactions.
Overall, in spoken conversations, it's important to have an interpreter. Again, just to make sure the patient knows everything that's happening. Sometimes when one asks a family member to be a translator, a family member can choose what they're going to say to the patient. And maybe the patient's not going to get the full story of what's happening. The family member could also not have an understanding of what's happening. So maybe they will say incorrect information to the patient. And it's just always best to have an interpreter when possible. Besides all of that, and, you know, and ensuring that the correct information is being said as full as possibly, it can be very traumatic for these communities that are already vulnerable and maybe may not trust this system or their providers. So to have a family member become an interpreter can be hugely traumatic. Personally, I have had an experience like with my family where I was asked to interpret. We were in the emergency department, and even though I had had my training, I was just under the impression that I was just going to be asked to say, take this medication. If you feel bad, come back. But actually, I was asked to tell my grandmother that she had 1 week to live and that there was nothing they could do for her, that she could not go back to her home country to see her other children again. And I was totally not expecting this, you know? It was extremely traumatic. Even as a medical interpreter, I was not prepared at all. So remembering that it can be an experience of lifelong trauma for having to do that one time is very important.
Absolutely. That sounds horrible.
Yeah, and he didn't even know I was an interpreter. I was just there with my grandmother, thinking we just needed to get one little thing done and everything was going to be okay. But it definitely did not go that way. So it just showed me how common this happens, because he didn't even know I was trained. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just thank you for being, you know, vulnerable and sharing that story with us. I feel like for people listening, like, it should resonate like more with that personal connection and the fact that, like, this is the impact that you could have by asking family members to translate when you're not supposed to. And this mm-hmm. is why medical interpreters are so valuable and so important to include in every encounter. And yeah, I'm so sorry you had to, like, go through that. That's just, I feel like even as a physician, telling our patients bad news is hard enough, but just to have, like, a lifelong connection with someone and then for a physician to kind of casually say, hey, can you say this, tell your grandma some, like, terrible news and like life-altering news is it just makes you reflect on like everything we do as a physician can have an impact on everyone involved. So we need to be cognizant of, you know, are we making sure our medical interpreter feels comfortable in this situation? Is our patients comfortable? The family members, like everyone, we are in charge of making sure the environment is safe for everyone involved and to not overstep those boundaries. So I'm so sorry I had to go through that.
And, you know, I think that it goes to show how valuable an interpreter can be. They are people who can help deliver news. They are people who can ensure. I mean, I could have selectively told my grandmother what was happening, you know? But we definitely don't want to make family members be people who deliver news, because family members are part of like the patient circle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what kind of made me decide that I could help out my community. While this was very painful for me, I know that in the future, me doing this work can really add value and prevent farther trauma in this community.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. Just to wrap up the episode, I think, Claudia, is there any other advice or information that you think our listeners should know regarding medical interpretation?
Yes. So I don't think I talked about it yet, but I just wanted to add that one thing that we can expect interpreters to do while we are doing an appointment is that we do not ask medical interpreters to give their personal opinions, like, oh, what do you think this patient is thinking? Or what do you think this patient's going to do? Instead, just always ask the patient those things. We also should expect the interpreter to stand next to and slightly behind the patient so that the interpreter is not like a third party in the interaction. It's going to make it easier for you to look at the patient and to have that open exchange.
I think that's a really good point and something that you don't really think about, because I've had interpreters who stand in the corner of the room behind me as a scribe in the corner of the room. And I'm also supposed to be a fly on the wall as a scribe. And, you know, the physician is constantly turning their head back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah, it's a very natural thing to want to do. And it's all not going to be possible every single time. But when possible, it's nice to have the interpreter slightly behind the patient. And also, I have found that as an interpreter, being in that position can help the patient feel supported and more of an equal in this exchange. Two other things I wanted to just note is that the interpreter should not be asked to assist in anything like helping a patient sit on a table or anything like that. They're just there to speak. Also, one thing that I've found is that sometimes providers or just the medical team forget that they're not supposed to have personal conversations with the interpreter. So just remember that anything you say, the interpreter is supposed to say to the patient.
That makes a lot of sense. I haven't thought about that before, but it makes a lot of sense to think that, you know, you shouldn't say anything, especially in the room specifically, to the interpreter that you wouldn't want the interpreter to say to the patient. I can only imagine the disaster of a scenario that would occur if the provider was trying to say something to the interpreter that they didn't want the patient to
hear.
For sure. I think those conversations where you're interacting with the interpreter need to happen on a more personal basis or a more private basis, need to happen outside of the room.
For sure. Yep.
Well, Claudia, thank you so much for being a guest on our show today, for being our guest expert on medical interpretation. I think this was super valuable, and hopefully our listeners find it helpful as they enter clinical scenarios third and fourth year. So thank you.
Thank you.